Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Extreme Basketball Topics. And on Extreme Basketball Topics, we get to the extreme. And this week, the extreme is the NBA trade deadline and the Cleveland Cavaliers that just went berserk. And I'm talking trading half of their rotation. It's never been seen in the NBA before. I mean, there's 30 games left. They're the third seed. They traded half of their rotation. Clearly, management did not think that this team could go far in the playoffs. And they're going for blood. They want to go to another NBA final and get a shot at another NBA championship, which I don't think is going to happen. Now, Isaiah Thomas is a Laker. He got traded with Channing Frye for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. Let me tell you something. Isaiah Thomas was on his way out. He talked his way out of town. He talked on his way. As soon as he got into the locker room, he thought he was Mr. Big Shot. He thought he was a perennial all-star and he was going to help LeBron run the show and he was Kyrie's replacement. No, you're out of here. You can't say the things he said, Isaiah. You can't say, oh, this team doesn't practice so I don't get reps. You can't say, oh, whenever adversity hits, we go our separate ways. You can't point fingers at Kevin Love. You can't say you're going to go back to averaging 30 a night. You play with LeBron's team. Everybody has to sacrifice their game, play off the ball. You know that. You're not Kyrie. You're not Kyrie. You're Lou Williams. Okay? You're Jamal Crawford. You're a sixth man. Isaiah Thomas... Oh, and then he goes traded to the Lakers and says he wants a buyout if he's not starting. You're a cancer. Isaiah Thomas, bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye to you ever being relevant, because you're in the Western Conference and you'll be coming off the bench for a long time. Another trade was sending Iman Shumpert to Sacramento. And Iman Shumpert has been bad since he became a Cavalier. He's been bad. And trading Derrick Rose to Utah along with Jay Crowder, you know, it was time for them to go. What I liked about that three-team trade with Utah and Sacramento was that they got in George Hill, who leads the league in three-point percentage. And they got in Rodney Hood, who's a damn good two-way player. Damn good. What I hated about the Cavaliers trade deadline was that Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith are still on the team. I don't know why. I don't know how. I guess La Familia will get into that sometime later. Wow. One thing I liked about the Cleveland Cavaliers last night was that they decided to trade Dwayne Wade to Miami for a second round pick. And they did it because, you know what? Dwayne Wade, he was not going to be a part of that movement. They told him his minutes in the rotation would go down. You know, his role would be reduced. And why not go to Miami? Miami's playing good. You are Miami. Go home. Like this, we don't like seeing you in a different jersey. You're Dwayne Wade. You're Dwayne Wade. So that's good. He'll be playing tonight. And I'm happy. Happy. And the trade deadline overall was disappointing for me because of my OKC fanship. You know, I feel like they need a replacement for Roberson. I feel like they should have went and got Tony Allen. They didn't do that. And now we're here. Without Tony Allen, without Roberson's replacement. So he's got to figure that out. He's going to be bought out. The buyout market is going to be crazy. I'm talking Bellinelli. He's been bought out. Who I think will go to the Warriors. Tony Allen, he's been bought out. Who I hope would go to OKC, but should probably go to Houston. I'm talking Vince Carter, who I'd hope would get bought out and go to Toronto. I'm talking Joe Johnson, who I think is going to end up a Cleveland Cavalier, but he always picks opportunity over winning. I don't know what that is about him. He likes his numbers. There's going to be some player movement this coming up week. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. One thing I know is that Isaiah Thomas is not who he thinks he is. even though the Cleveland Cavaliers made those moves, I still feel like they didn't need to. They were in good shape because they have LeBron James. LeBron James is going to find a way to go to the NBA Finals because the Eastern Conference has a bunch of pretenders. And the East is WWE. We do it every year for drama. We know LeBron's going to the Finals. The East is WWE. One thing I want to cover real quickly is the All-Star replacements, because Goran Dragic got in over Ben Simmons to replace John Wall, which I hate. And then, to make it worse, prayers up to Kristaps Porzingis, he tore his ACL, so they needed a replacement. And I think, okay, Ben Simmons got snubbed again, you know, Goran Dragic got in, now it's his turn. They give it to Kemba Walker, who's not that good. Because his team isn't even in the playoffs. They give him an All-Star slot over Ben Simmons. Whatever. I guess. Whatever. I have no words for that one. So Ben Simmons is not in the All-Star game. Whatever. Kemba Walker is. Whatever. The 76ers are going to make the playoffs. And they're going to be scary. You know, I said last week that I feel like they could beat the Celtics. And I still feel like they can beat the Celtics. But you know who you should really watch out for? Is the Detroit Pistons. I want to give an apology. Like, I want this segment to be just about my apology to Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, my sincere apologies to you, because I said that you were just going to be another guy. You know, it wasn't a big deal because you're not that good, and I'm sorry. Because I love the way Stan Van Gundy uses Blake Griffin. He's given him a LeBron role, a point forward role, where it's like, he gets the ball and you go, you create. I feel like, you know, Blake Griffin, this is his best element. He's in his best element right now. And these guys are rolling. I look at the schedule and they can easily win 9 straight. They have a pretty easy schedule. They're rolling. And I, don't get me wrong, but on February 23rd, they might beat the Boston Celtics and win 10 straight. You heard it here first. And I know people are going to say I'm a Boston Celtics hater and I don't think highly of them and blah, blah, blah. It's just, they're young. You know what I'm saying? You got to wait your turn and they're not that good. They're not. And it's okay. I mean, they have Kyrie and they have Brad Stevens. And I guess Al Horford's 13-7 is a real something. But they're not that good. And I feel like what Blake Griffin has with Andre Drummond, who is better than DeAndre Jordan, and I'll tell you why. Because he has a better motor. DeAndre Jordan is more athletic and bigger than Drummond. But Drummond, his motor is amazing. I'm talking rebounds on top of rebounds. He goes for them. If DeAndre Jordan went for rebounds like Drummond, DeAndre Jordan would be a superstar. Not just a one-time All-Star, he'd be a superstar. Andre Drummond is a better scorer than DeAndre, a better passer than DeAndre. DeAndre's a great defender, a better defender than Drummond. But Drummond can play some D. I like the pieces that they have around Blake Griffin. He got some shooters with him. And he's looking like he's having more fun. The East is going to be good for Blake, because the West is, that's not his game, man. The West is a scary place. It's a scary place to survive. Only the strong survive in the West, unless you're weak enough to join a 73-win team. But only the strong survive and earn the survival. So Blake Griffin, I'm sorry. You're amazing. You're going to do amazing. Detroit has a bright future ahead of them, and I'm watching. I'm on notice. I'm sorry, Blake. I apologize. I was wrong. And I can say that. I can say that. Blake Griffin is going to lead Detroit to the playoffs. So this playoff hunt is going to get interesting because the 76ers have the 8th seed and the Pistons have the 9th seed. I don't know how it's going to work out. I see the 76ers making it and I see the Pistons making it. So I don't know how it's going to work out. I see Miami Heat making it. So I don't know how it's going to work out. Somebody's going to have the short end of the stick. But it won't be the Pistons. It won't be. in such a great mood this week. You know why? Because as an OKC fan, I come to a realization. Well, my realization was my assumption. We're better than the Golden State Warriors. We're just better than them. We've beaten them twice already at full strength, blowing them out. We even beat them in Oracle. I feel like we match up with them perfectly. You know, we have a lot of weapons. Even Carmelo, he was out. He only played 6 minutes. And OKC beat them. The Golden State Warriors can't match up with the OKC Thunder. We have multiple long defenders and we just throw them off. It's going to be a hell of a series. It's going to be a hell of a playoffs. I feel like we can't be beaten by the Golden State Warriors. The reason why I want Tony Allen is because we fall asleep some nights when we don't have a challenge. Oklahoma City Thunder are undefeated when they face the Warriors, the Rockets, the Raptors, and the Cavaliers. They lost to the Boston Celtics, and that loss pissed me off, but I'll tell you what, that loss, we gave up a 20-point lead. It was early, so I'll give them a pass. OKC has found their stride. They're not looking back. And I just feel like the Warriors are in trouble. The Warriors are in trouble, especially if OKC finds a way to get Tony Allen, but they're okay, even without Tony Allen, matchup-wise, with the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, their bench has underperformed this season. And for some reason, OKC just comes alive. Russell Westbrook is hungry. There's no secret, we don't like Kevin Durant. If you're an OKC fan, you don't like Kevin Durant. You're never going to see me talk big about Kevin Durant on this show. I'm not biased, but I just don't like Kevin Durant. Now, Russell Westbrook, on the other hand, that's my MVP. That's my MVP. Paul George is a great two-way player. And honestly, even if he's just a rental for this season, I'm down for that. Paul George, he's coming for heads. Carmelo Anthony, I love that he's accepted this new role. He's clicking on all cylinders. And my boy Steven Adams, he's just ready. He's always ready. He's a product of spacing. I'm saying he plays his best when he's around better players. I'm talking diving, screens, rolling, dunking, offensive rebounds. That's my guy, man. The only problem I have with this Thunder team is that they don't bring it against bad teams. I want OKC to get the third seed. I really do. I want OKC to get the third seed. But I don't mind them staying fourth to fifth if, for some reason, the Warriors dip in the standings to second. I want it to be set up so OKC sees the Warriors in the conference finals. So I need OKC to get the third seed. It's going to be a hell of a playoffs, guys. Don't sleep on my Thunder. Don't sleep on my Thunder. We are better than the Warriors. I can say it, and I'm proud to say it. OKC Thunder are better than the Warriors. It's just that simple. Head to head, they're better. You know, enough OKC talk. You know, they've lost 2 games this week to the exact same team. And this team was the Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers have beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder twice in 1 week. Now, I know people are going to say, yeah, the last game, Russ and Melo weren't playing, and Roberson is not there, and blah, blah, blah. But no, those Lakers are playing basketball the right way, and we need to give them all the recognition possible. Luke Walton is doing a heck of a coaching job, and Lonzo Ball's not playing, and they're still winning. Now, imagine when Lonzo gets back. Now, mind you, of course, Isaiah Thomas is, you know, going to come on the team and might cause a rift because he's Isaiah Thomas and that's who he is now. You know what I'm saying? He's that guy that thinks that he deserves the ball in his hands and he's going to score 30 a game. That's what he wants. And for him, Lonzo is not a scoring point guard, so he's going to give Isaiah Thomas the ball. Isaiah Thomas is going to get his baskets. Now, does it work? I don't know, but those young guns are balling. And I've been saying this since 2014. Julius Randle is a future MVP. Book it. He's a bully. He's a future all-star. Perennial. Book it. I'm so happy the Lakers kept him. I actually wanted OKC to trade for him, but that wouldn't work out. But I'm so happy the Lakers kept him. He has a bright future. This team has a bright future. And I'm going to go on a limb and say that these guys are going to get the 8th seed. Here's why. They're going to get the 8th seed because the Pelicans are on a downhill slope. The Clippers are on a downhill slope. And the Clippers and Pelicans, that's like the 8th, 9th seed. And the 10th seed is Utah. They're on a downhill slope. Because they traded away Rodney Hood. And they got back Jay Crowder. So they're on a downhill slope. Listen, guys. Utah's on a downhill slope. Pelicans, Clippers, that just leaves the 11 seed Lakers, who are on an uphill slope. If that even makes sense. These guys are rising. I have them winning. I have them being 37-37, and it's going to be all fair game from then. They're winning basketball games, and they're playing the right way. They're 12-4 in their last 16. Don't look now, but these guys, I'm telling you, these Lakers, we call them the baby Lakers, but they have grown up right before our eyes. Wait till Lonzo Ball comes back. They're comfortable. You know, Kyle Kuzma hit that rookie wall, and he's balling now again. They have, I hate to say it, but they have a good president. Magic Johnson is doing a great job, and who knows, they might land Paul George and LeBron James this summer. They might do it. It's attractive. I would do it. It's not going to a losing situation anymore, as one would think. It's going to a winning situation because they're on an uphill slope. I thought they had the worst rebuild ever, but it's making so much sense now. They have a great coach, and he's a coach for young guys. They have a great GM, Rob Pelinka, who just, he has a bunch of relationships all over throughout the NBA. You get IT, I think a rental for 30 games. You get Channing Frye, a locker room guy, keeps the team together, except for in Cleveland. that last season. But I really think that these Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I don't think it's a stretch no more. I think they're going to keep playing the right way. The three teams ahead of them are on a downhill slope. I think this is going to happen. So let's watch this closely. Let's watch this very closely. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to make the playoffs. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So, you heard the segment. You've heard it all. I've talked about many things, and I know I've been getting a couple messages about my jabs, quote-unquote, at the Boston. I don't hate the Boston Celtics. I don't see what everybody's rambling about. But I got a good friend on the phone here, and we're going to talk about the Boston Celtics. I got Lawrence. Lawrence, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I got Lawrence here. We're going to talk about the Boston Celtics because he's a big Boston Celtics guy. And he's going to break it down to me why, just why he thinks they're contenders. That's what I want to know. Why do you think the Boston Celtics are serious contenders at the NBA championship?
Well, I got one word for you. It's Brad Stevens. Okay. This guy, he's gonna find a way, and he'll find a way in the playoffs. If you look at the East, the only team you got to worry about is the Raptors. And we all know what happens to the Raptors in the playoffs. I'm hoping, as a Toronto native, they don't fall. But, you know, time and time again, we've had the same high hopes. They go to the playoffs, and they mess up. Cleveland's a mess. I don't care about their new roster. I still think they're going to be a mess. I don't see any other team getting in front of Boston. There's nothing going on there. There's no drama. They didn't trade anybody. They only obtained Greg Monroe, which is something that we've actually needed. Aaron Baines is nice, but sit down. So that's just my opinion. I don't see the East being a threat to any of the to the Celtics at all.
Okay, I'm going to have to hold you right there because the Boston Celtics, to me, they're a well-coached team, but they're going to go through what, similar to what my OKC Thunder went through in the early 2010s. They're kind of young. They're kind of young. Their key pieces are kind of young. The guys that they're depending on, other than Kyrie and Al Horford, the Jason Tatums and the Jalen Browns, they're kind of young. And I just think that these guys are pretenders, personally. I think they're a well-coached team. I don't think they have an it guy on that team. Kyrie's great. I get it. But I've never seen Kyrie alone until this season. And he's not really alone because he still has a superstar with him in Brad Stevens, in my opinion.
Okay, so that's a good observation.
So I just feel like the Raptors. I don't care about the Raptors. I'm a Toronto native. We both are. We know the Toronto Raptors are Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. We know what they are. But I even before Cleveland made these trades, I felt like they were gonna stumble their way to the NBA Finals, and I still feel like that. It's nothing against the Boston Celtics. I love the Celtics. The 08 2010 Celtics and the Celtics that the Celtics that should have made the NBA Finals in 2012 Celtics. I love those guys. I really do. I do. But this is holding on to something, that an idea. I mean, they're good. They're good, but they're also really bad. I just finished watching them lose a game
where
they couldn't put 48 minutes together.
That's my thing. That's my thing about the East, though, is what team is consistently good in the East right now?
None. And that's why the Cleveland Cavaliers will flip the switch come playoff time.
But why? See, this is the thing. I feel like everybody's just expecting that because it's been the norm. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it at all. They're worse than they were last year at this point. And a lot of people are trying to bring up last year as, they won on that streak last year and they still made it to the finals, but it's a completely different situation this year.
There's a couple people in the league that can flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston Celtics actually have one of them. There's Kyrie. I feel like he could flip the switch. He could turn it on. He knows how to, like, he has this thing where he could piss himself off and he just knows how to turn it on. It's amazing to watch. And if that Kyrie shows up, and I give the Celtics a chance. But the only thing is, I don't know who's coming with him every night on a 7-game basis on his team. I don't. I think Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. I think that's their big three right there. Without Gordon Hayward, it's okay. They still got Brad Stevens, Al Horford, and Kyrie. Like, that guy's he's the best coach in the NBA.
And
I know people have this thing where they respect Pop, but still it's nostalgia. Brad Stevens is hands down. I've never seen a guy that could his out of timeout plays blow my mind. Like, just little things like that. He's just amazing. He's amazing. Everything he does is amazing. But I don't think that he has the right pieces to win the NBA championship. And I think that if the Boston Celtics want Gordon Hayward to come back late in the season, this little Superman comeback that they're hinting at, I don't think that's a good idea. I think he's gonna throw.
I totally agree. I want. Just chill out, support his team. I don't think the Celtics are going to win it all, but I think they will win the East. That's just my honest opinion. It has nothing to do with being a fanboy, but I just watched the East and how inconsistent they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, think about who was in the top at the beginning of the season to now. It's just completely flipped. It's just
sad.
Sad at the East. Yeah, it is sad. But I'm going to,
that's why I'm going to go on a limb.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and tell you this right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers are going to finish first or second seed in the East.
Oh, my goodness. You really believe that?
Yeah, I actually really believe that these guys are going to finish first or second seed. I feel like people are under, like, the acquisitions don't blow my mind. Like, I didn't flinch at any of the acquisitions. But I'll say this, the acquisitions, like, this whole thing where, like, trade the whole team thing, I don't agree with it, because LeBron James, like, he makes his quote-unquote teammates better because he makes them win. He doesn't make them individually better. They don't play better with LeBron James. Like, Kevin Love is a tall Mike Miller. Now he's a tall Mike Miller. he never used to play.
You're 100% right.
He doesn't make anybody better. He makes them look better by winning. But he's he makes himself. Everybody has to sacrifice their game to play LeBron's game. And so that's the thing. And I think that's why I didn't flinch, because I was like, oh, he's not going to make these guys better. But these guys are the kind of guys LeBron needs. LeBron needs a George Hill. A George Hill that leads the NBA in three-point shooting right now, percentage. Like, that guy, he could play the Mario Chalmers role and spot up, and LeBron have the ball in his hands. Like, that's great. George Hill can defend. I think that's a good acquisition. I like Rodney Hood because he's a two-way guy, and he's shooting three really well. He's averaging close to 17 a game this year. That's a LeBron guy. And then I don't know about Larry. I don't know about Larry Nance thing. I think this is a Cleveland thing because his father played for the Cavs, whatever. But I like Jordan Clarkson because he's actually a sixth man. Like, he that's just who he is. Like, he'll never get better. He'll never get worse. He's just Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, and like, you know what? I think the biggest acquisition is Jordan Clarkson to me, because he already knows how to just
sit down and
play alongside somebody.
Yeah, so he'll be fine. I think George Hill is a good one, because, and I feel like getting rid of all the point guards, because I didn't understand why Cleveland had all these point guards, because LeBron James on your team, nobody's gonna get to play point guard but LeBron. So I'm happy they got rid of all these point guards. I'm happy they got rid of Isaiah Thomas, because I can't stand him now. Like, I can't stand Isaiah Thomas. I never could stand him before, but I always said he was delusional, and he just backed me up on that. So I'm happy they got rid of that guy.
No, you know what? I look at Isaiah Thomas is, he's a guy who don't care. He'll speak his mind, you know? He'll speak his mind on the situation. And if you look at the past of all the people that LeBron's played with, he don't like playing with guys. He don't like playing with other alphas. Think about it. He doesn't.
No. Like a Deion
Waiters, Delonte West. He don't like playing with these alphas, so he gets rid of them. That's my thing. So I feel like Isaiah Thomas wasn't willing to play down to, you know, LeBron's system. That's what I call the Cleveland Cavaliers system, is LeBron's system. He doesn't want to give it up, you know what I mean? Because if you watch that, even that game last night, or when was it? When he hit that game winner, Isaiah Thomas was wide open. This man was not trying to pass it to him.
He's wide open 40 feet.
Well, how else is he going to get his attention?
I get it. He was flailing his arms like Deion Waiters. It was so nostalgic. I was like, this guy's going to go tomorrow. As soon as I saw that, he's going tomorrow.
But going back to the trade with the Cavaliers, I think Larry Nance and Clarkson are the biggest gems. George Hill is just whatever, you know. To me, he's just whatever.
I just don't see. Are they gonna play Larry Nance at center when he comes off the bench? Because with Tristan's gonna start at center.
Either way, they're both still undersized
and right
centers.
I just don't get it, because Kevin Love is out for 6 to 8 weeks, right? So how does that work? Like, are you gonna plug in Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson? Are we gonna play 0-5 basketball where there's two bigs that can't do anything?
I can see them throwing in. Well, they have Osman starting right now.
Oh, yeah, I like too. That kid.
But I can see them putting Jeff Green at the four, maybe. Put Jeff Green back in his Boston days and have him at the four.
That's not a bad.
See, I just don't think you can sleep on the Cavaliers now. I think they figured it out. Because LeBron, you need a certain guy, type of guy to play with LeBron. And they got rid of all the guys that can't play with LeBron. And I feel bad for Jerry Crowder, because he can play with LeBron. He's just been struggling.
No, he can't play. He needs to be under a good system. He was under Rick Carlisle before he went under Brad Stevens. Those two good coaches. And then he goes and plays under LeBron. It's not the same.
Yeah, you're right. Dang, man. My guy, Jay Crowder.
I know. I always thought he was overrated, to be honest. Even when he was on the Celtics, I thought he was overrated.
But this is what the Cavs should have done, and then I would have said, okay, they're gonna destroy the NBA. This is what they really should have done. Reset everything. They should have traded their first. Listen to this. They should have traded their first round pick, the Brooklyn Nets first round pick. They should have traded that with Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, and got Avery Bradley and DeAndre Jordan, because Avery Bradley is close to Isaiah Thomas, and he's close to Jay Crowder. Those are Brad Stevens guys. You need Brad Stevens guys on your team if you want to win. You want to beat Brad Stevens.
It's true.
And then you get DeAndre Jordan. You get a guy that could defend because these guys can't defend. And you get Avery Bradley. Who can
so
defend.
Where's LeBron going? He's staying?
That guy's, I don't know what he's doing. I hate, he's a drama queen. Just tell me what you're doing.
No, I'm saying
in your scenario right now. Is he going to stay?
Yeah, right now, in your scenario
that you're saying with the.
Oh, no, I'm saying this is for the rest of the season. LeBron's gone either way. I don't know where he's going, but he's gone.
You think so?
I think he needs to retire.
You think so?
Because you're not. I think, like, there's no reason to keep going.
I feel you're not going to. He's not winning anytime soon. He's not winning nothing.
Yeah, you're not winning anything.
And if he does try to win the championship, whatever move he makes is just going to tarnish his legacy more. I feel you on that.
Exactly. So right now, like, you can't leave Cleveland. And you're not going to win a championship. So you want to just. Just go on.
Go before he goes on that. You've done
everything. That's already starting to happen.
Exactly, because he started off so strong in the beginning, and his body is not answering.
No, you can tell. You can see it
when you play. When I bring that up to people, they're like, you're just hating. I'm like, nah, man. You got to look at the man.
No, he's chilling now. He's preserving his body now because he realizes like he can't do what he did in November. He started off way too fast.
He did. I thought the same thing.
So I say he retired. I think he should retire.
Yeah.
15 seasons, you did all that. Good for you, man.
Get out. Yeah, exactly. Get out. You have your three rings. You have your three and five. Don't make it 3-6.
It's going to be 3-6.
If he goes this year, I don't think so.
Oh, man. He will. He will.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
I'm telling you, this is what I've been saying. The Eastern Conference. Okay, remember when we were kids and Kane used to kill the Undertaker and everybody's like, oh, the Undertaker's dead.
Yeah.
But we all knew in the back of our heads, Undertaker's going to come back to life and beat up Kane. LeBron is the Undertaker.
Yeah.
In every January, February, we always do this. Like, oh, LeBron, no, what's going to happen now? We all know the Undertaker's going to come back to life and win at WrestleMania.
You know,
and Eastern Conference Finals is at WrestleMania.
Okay, so let me give you this scenario. What if Toronto actually keeps up this style of play in the playoffs? You see them going to the finals?
No, because Kyle Lowry and DeRozan aren't going
to
show up.
Well, I'm just saying, say they continue like this. They go to the finals. They're better than they were last year.
The reason why I don't think they're going to do anything is because they have... Like they should have got rid of Jonas Valanciunas. Now he's trying to be like Al Horford. Now he's trying to be that guy that shoots threes.
I've been saying that. Oh my goodness.
Like they should have got rid of him. Like that kind of center is not gonna win you, and it's not gonna win you a playoff series. So like it's either they go with that Pirtle guy that he plays like a Stephen Adams kind of game.
Yeah.
But like you can't go with that kind of center. JV is not gonna get you where you want to go. So
yo, the East has
it's just a no for me. Though.
Joel Embiid is the only and then Drummond. You got Joel Embiid and Drummond in the East. Who else do you have?
That's pretty much it. But I'm saying to be a good team, the Celtics and the Cavs, you need a center. You need a guy that can give you offensive rebounds and things like that. Like because the Celtics and the Cavs give that up. No, not the Celtics. Never mind. But the Cavs do. Cavs are small ball. They have warrior paranoia, and they've had it for a long time. So Tristan's their starting center now.
Yeah, they've been sleeping on Tristan way too much this season, in my opinion. I don't know if he's been playing bad. I just think they're just sleeping.
He's been sleeping on himself, man. That's what happens when you mess with the... I give him, like... You mess with the Kardashians. Yo, he's going to be out of the league by, like, 30, 31, bro.
You think so?
Because, yo, listen, Marcin Gortat is already talking retirement. He said he wants to finish his career with the Magic. He's going to play one or two more years in the league because he knows the way the NBA is going.
What, small ball, eh?
And he said he's not developing a shot. He said, I'm not shooting.
Why should he? He's been in the league for what, 10, 9 years or something like that?
Exactly. So my thing is, Tristan Thompson, that guy can't develop anything. So he's done. Like, why do, people, they pay him $82 million to rebound, right? After his contract's done, He's gonna have like another like 1 or 2 year deal, and that's it. He's out of here, man.
Yeah,
he's out of here. He's not gonna last in there. He's not playing the NBA till he's like 35 or something like that. No, he's done when he's 31 or 32.
How old is he? 27? 26?
He turned 27.
Bro, after this contract year, he's done. Who's gonna
want him? Yeah, exactly, man. That guy is.
The only way a guy like Tristan Thompson can stay in the league is if he goes to a team that has a good coach that will consistently use him in a good system. Straight up. The guys like the Kendrick Perkins, you know what I mean?
Everybody's got to run to Brad Stevens. Everybody. Everybody. Because Jared Smith has 2 years in the league, too. That's it.
Yeah, no.
That guy's averaging 7 points a game on like 35% shooting for 2 years.
You can dip into the G League and get a handful of players better than Jared Smith. Easily.
Yo. Easily. Those guys, the only reason why they're on the Cavs is because LeBron likes him. Man. We're like, that's just stupid. That La Familia stuff is stupid.
Yeah, it is dumb.
Stupid.
I don't
know. Like, and like, yo, LeBron, like, my thing is, why would you even want LeBron on your team? Yeah, he wants so much control.
Exactly.
If I was the Lakers, I wouldn't want him.
I think LeBron is tarnishing his stock with all the drama that he's creating on the social media and, you know, in the interviews and this and that and this and that. Like, I think a lot of GMs are starting to think, like, if I was a GM, I wouldn't want that on my team, to be honest with you. I wouldn't.
Because
you see systems like the Spurs and the Celtics, and even like, well, not so much Philly, but kind of Philly, like these teams that are being well put, and these guys are just out there to play. Even Houston, I should say, but I don't believe Mike D'Antoni is a good coach. I think
he's... No, I don't believe he's a good coach either.
Season coach. In playoffs, he always loses to good coaches. Always.
Yeah, he's not... That guy gets a good point guard, and he tells him to go. Like, he's not good.
No, he's not. I want to ask you a question. Is Jay Triano running the Milwaukee Bucks right now?
No, that's a... Frig, Jay Triano is with the Phoenix Suns right now.
Oh, is that who's running it?
He's coaching the Phoenix Suns, yeah.
So who took over for Kidd?
Man. Forgot the dude's name.
Okay.
Not a significant guy.
All right, never mind. That's my bad. I thought Triano took over for the Bucks.
No, he took over for the Suns. But whoever took over for the Bucks is doing a good job.
Really good job, doing what they're supposed.
Did they win tonight? Oh no, they lost. They lost. The Bucks are scary though, but I don't.
I'm not a believer.
If you, yeah, I don't. The East is just.
That's what I was just about to say. The East is just full of non-believers right now. Of like high ceilings, but we got to see what they can do. There's no
the biggest wastest East team that's wasting everybody's time is the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, in my opinion,
because they can they're the kind of team that could get bounced in the first round too.
Yeah, like, if they run into Philly, because I think Toronto will grab the first seed because Boston's been playing really bad lately. They really have. I think Toronto might.
Yeah, but
the first seed. If they run into Philly, the first round, or Philly or Detroit, I don't really see. Toronto coming out of that.
The world's gonna end, man. The world's gonna end.
What do against Drummond and Griffin or even Joel Embiid? You know,
I'm telling you, because JV, oh my gosh, that's not gonna win you. Like, now he's trying to shoot threes. Like, you can't just do it halfway through the year.
This guy brought that up.
And I don't like Kyle Lowry. You know,
no, I don't like him. They should have got rid of him.
And I love DeRozan, but he's not the guy that's gonna take you to the promised land.
No, he's a side.
Yeah, but that's all I got for today, man. That's all I got for today. I'm gonna wrap it up. We've been going for about 20.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me, man. Man, this was a good talk, man. I'm gonna have to get you on this next week, man. To be honest,
yeah, I'm out here, man. I'm waiting. I always got stuff to talk about when it comes to my boys, though.
All right, yo, your boys are gonna be talked about a lot because I don't believe in your boys, man.
Well, we'll see. Wait till playoffs. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. Thunder up, man. Beat the Warriors again.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, later, man. Boston.
All right, have a good night, man.
It was a great talk with my buddy Lawrence. We're going to be doing a lot of features together from here on out. You know what I'm saying? He's a Celtic fan. I'm the OKC fan. But we're not biased. We say the truth. You know what I'm saying? OKC plays like trash. I'm going to say OKC plays like trash. If Celtics play like trash, he's going to say the Celtics play like trash. But we're diehard fans, man. We bring it. We bring it. We talk extreme. And that's extreme basketball topics. This is what this show is all about. Thank you for those who follow. Stick with us. We're going to keep growing. We're taking you guys with us. Thank you. See you next week.